Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Alex, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Good evening.
How are you?
Excellent.
Great. Great. Yes, it is starting to feel like good evening this time of year, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, the sun's already heading on its way. We're already looking for our flashlights.
Yes. Yes. Great. Alex, tell me about the upcoming at-home working meditation retreat.
It is a brilliant idea. I wish
it
I could
is,
claim that
it?
I came up with that, but I did not. It's such a fabulous idea. I love it on lots of different levels. The first level is that it brings the monastery experience to your living room.
Wow.
Yeah. It's wow. It's really neat because here at the monastery, when we get up, we follow a schedule,
yes.
And which includes meditation. You know, we then have breakfast, and then we meditate again, and then we go on to the rest of our day, which includes working meditation.
Yes.
And we could try to have opinions about what we're doing, but it's really not necessary because a schedule is pretty much laid out for us.
Yes.
And so I get a note posted for me saying that I need to, or actually never says you need to. It says, would you please?
Yes.
And would I please, whatever, fill in the blank. And so we're offering that opportunity to folks at home to fill in the blank to would you please. And one can approach it with suffering, or one can approach it with, well, that's just what I'm asked to do. Drop the conversation and roll up the, you know, roll up the shirt sleeves.
Yes, because as you say, the schedule is what the schedule is.
Exactly.
And we can like it or hate it, or like this work assignment and not that one, and we're still going to do it.
Exactly, right, because that's just what we do. We say yes to whatever life presents to us, and we go ahead and do it, and we have two choices about how to approach it, cheerfully or not.
Yes.
And so, but it's all, you know, what I love most about it is that the second thing is that it's meditation, you know. We offer three different kinds of meditation here at the monastery. There's sitting meditation, walking meditation, and both of those happen in the meditation hall, and they're very formal. And the working meditation actually resembles life as we knew it or know it out there in the
yes.
so-called quote-unquote real world.
Yes. Yes.
Or other world, as we like to call it.
The other world. So this one-day at-home retreat will have a schedule, and there'll be meditation, I understand an orientation to working meditation.
That's right. We'll talk about what working meditation is and what it isn't, how to do
great.
It.
Great. And what is it, anyway?
Working meditation?
Yes.
Well, it's meditation at the forefront. It resembles everyday activity. But it's one of the most challenging because we can get pulled off out of the moment and get confused and think that it's about getting stuff done. And it's the one that most brings up stuff for us. You know, that person thinks such and such about me, or all sorts of things can come up in working meditation that may not necessarily come up in the other forms of meditation.
Right.
And so it's not about getting things done. It's about paying attention to see how we are distracted from being with ourselves as we go about doing everyday tasks.
Uh-huh. Paying attention to ourselves and seeing how we get distracted from the everyday tasks that we are supposedly focused on.
That is correct. And so we are focusing on our breathing, staying inward, and paying attention to how we are drawn outward and how we forget the breath in pursuit of getting whatever pieces of content we've pulled off the message board, so to speak, has come our way.
Yes, yes. And so with the working meditation, we might be moving around, moving our body, and so it's different, in a sense, from the formal sitting meditation.
That's correct. Yep.
So
that's my experience of what the distinction is between the two.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and the working meditation covers all sorts of things, from cleaning outhouses, here at the monastery anyway, to calling folks on the phone, you know, setting up retreats, working on the computer, all sorts of things like that.
Yes, yes.
And we invite people in their homes to do the same thing, you know. They may have always wanted to cook themselves something from a monastery cookbook and never done it. And the support of this structure allows people to do things they may never have been able to do before, simply because conditioning gets a chance to say, well, I don't really want to do that, or I don't feel like it, or I don't have time. Well, at the monastery, when you pull a note off the board and it says do that, just go ahead and do it.
Yes, yes. And watch whatever comes up to try to insert itself between that.
Yeah, and then there's support for all that comes up as this goes on. So there'll be working meditation, and then we'll do a check-in at about lunchtime or so to see how it's all going for folks. And because with the use of modern technology, we have the ability to do that now.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I understand there will also be guidance and group discussion.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Again, another benefit to having such wonderful modern technology that the monastery can be so close that way.
Yes. Yes. I feel really a sense of support for the whole day.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and we all need that, you know. It's one thing to say I'm going to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go for a jog in the pouring rain because I'm committed to do that. But
yes,
if you know that somebody else is going to be going to show up to do that, then it's not sort of it's not such a hardship.
Yes, we can find more.
It's easier to say yes to.
Yes,
things like that.
Yes.
And of course, no one's being asked to do that.
Yes. Yes. What comes up for me as you're talking is that I'm being guided to find my willingness to do whatever it is that I've committed to.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's just like little training wheels there for being able to support whatever it is that your heart decides you'd like to do.
Great. Great. Sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, it is a really wonderful opportunity. I enjoy working meditation here at the monastery, and so it's just thrilling to know that that's available to anybody who decides to want to participate in something like that.
Great, great. Alex, I'd like to mention a couple of the other items that are on our upcoming calendar.
Oh, you mean like there's nothing wrong with your retreat?
Please.
And
why don't you start
retreat in Santa Sabina?
Yes, I'll give you some dates. So There's Nothing Wrong With You is coming up November 14th to the 21st.
Uh-huh.
And Santa Sabina, which is a very fun retreat. Last year was our first time there, and
yeah,
we'll be there again this year.
It's our New Year's retreat. We do a New Year's retreat every year, and we've done it before in Santa Sabina, which is a really beautiful place in, what is it, San Rafael?
Yes, San
okay.
Rafael, yep.
And it's just gorgeous there. There are hikes, there are amazing views. Of course, we bring our great food, and we have yoga and lots of sangha. I mean, we have the opportunity to fill the place up to the brim with folks.
Yes, it's a big retreat facility.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah, and the dates for that are December 28th through January 2nd. And we really encourage people to sign up early, and it's actually more inexpensive if you sign up before November 1st.
That's right. That's right. It's a deal considering that, you know, it's going to be a follow-up. Well, I shouldn't say follow-up, but Sherry will be there, and there will be an email class that she would have completed before that retreat begins, which will be on the same topic. So it's a great opportunity to follow through on whatever came up in the email class. And boy, you just can't beat having retreat with Sherry.
Yes. And would you say, Alex, that what you practice is what you have?
I would say that, Michael. It's such a great title.
Yes, yes. And so that's the title of the email class and the retreat at Santa Sabina.
Yeah, and come practice with us, and then you'll have that.
Yes. Yes, and what occurs to me about that topic is that particularly when something unexpected or challenging comes up, it's helpful to know that what I practice is something that I can rely on and will support me when that happens.
Yes, yes, yeah, well put. Yep, because if you practice, what you get is practice.
Yes. And there are two other items on the calendar. Sunday, November 15th, Sherry will be in Berkeley for an evening talk at the Berkeley Fellowship of Unitarian Universalists. That's always a great opportunity. And also December 12th, which I think is a Saturday, Sherry will be at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose on the topic of We Share One World.
Yes. Yeah, and I think all of this is on our website, too, on livingcompassion.org.
It absolutely is, because that's where I'm reading it from. I didn't want to miss anything here.
No, I know how that can be. You get all the stats right.
Yes. Alex, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Michael. I hope to see all the folks there at the retreats, and or either that or over the phone.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Have a great show.
We will.
Bye.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are
that
you?
That was very fun, I got to say.
Oh, good. Oh,
yes.
Good.
And here, what Alex said brought home for me one of the top, you know, it's hard to say, but top maybe three things that I love best about our practice. So here's a meditation retreat at home. And so people are going to be doing sitting and walking and working meditation. And conditioned mind is going to say, oh, yeah, and you've got to get that ladder out and go up there to the third floor and wash all those windows, and it's going to be cold and miserable and horrible, but that's what you have to do because you're going to do working meditation. And what does Alex suggest? You could cook something from the monastery cookbook that you've always wanted to cook but have always gotten talked out of.
Yeah.
I mean, there it is. You know, practice. Do practice because it's the kindest, most loving thing you can do for yourself.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm great, to answer your question. And you?
I'm good.
Sound good.
Yeah, I'm very happy for the opportunity to be called to be present once again.
Yes. Isn't that a good thing?
It is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you where I am. I've just been at two conferences. The first conference was a gathering of people who were invited to come together because they share work of attempting to alleviate or eradicate poverty around the world.
Yeah.
And then I went from there to a gathering of socially responsible business leaders and entrepreneurs. So I have just been wildly inspired in the realm of show up and participate because it's the best thing you can do for yourself and everyone else, people, critters, plants, the ocean, everything. And now I am cloistered away working on the sequel to There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So it is a very exciting time, and actually I will walk out of here and start that email class that you mentioned on what you practice is what you have, and so I feel myself to be among the luckiest, most supported creatures on the planet.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And would you say that there's still nothing wrong with us?
There is still, I would say, the proof is even more conclusive.
Ooh.
That there never was anything wrong.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So maybe we
yeah.
were just
so,
taught that.
Maybe somebody just wants you to believe that
yes.
Erroneous information.
I was
yeah,
just
so I'm very
erroneous.
Excited about it. We have another process that's set up for people who have done There's Nothing Wrong With You. And I know there's one coming right up, so we're going to get another crew of people to go through that process. But anybody who has done the retreat and is in understands the point of that work, what it's designed to do, and how to do it, has a huge leg up on the process of ending suffering. I mean, it's huge. In fact, I just got an amazing email from a fellow who I did an interview with a couple of years ago, and so he, you know, and then he just laid out the sequence of events that he went through after that interview that finally, in the second time around, caused him to read There's Nothing Wrong With You, and his life has forever changed. And so people who have that, who get that this is the missing ingredient, this is the secret to the whole deal, are now going to be able to have the next stage, and I can give it away to folks here. There are some practice things that go with it, much like the reassurances and that sort of thing that go with the first There's Nothing Wrong With You. But essentially, what it does is deal with the specifics of how you make this change and what you're going to face and what the tools and techniques are for going through what's going to arise when you make the decision to go beyond self-hatred.
Wow.
Yeah.
So some practice tools and some ideas about what we're going to face when we make that decision to go beyond self-hatred.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. So I'm really thrilled. It's one of those things where I personally never know. You folks were talking about saying yes. I never know when it's going to be time to do a book. It just all of a sudden comes together and arises, and it's clear that it's the time to do it. So I just feel really, just excited and thrilled and inspired that now is the time, and it feels like this information is going to be just another boost for people's practice, coming back to themselves and living in loving kindness and conscious compassion and awareness, and just turning our lives around. So
great.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Can't wait to see it.
It is. It is. I know.
Sherry, we have a number of callers here.
Very good. I'll stop talking and start listening.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Anna here from England.
Hey, Anna.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm here and Poppy's here. I don't know what you'll be like for time. I don't know whether you'll get a chance to talk to us both, but try and be quick because I know Poppy wants to talk to you as well.
Okay, great. I bet we'll have time.
there were two things. The first thing was I just wanted to say I really enjoyed the Making Peace with Money email class.
Good.
It was so fantastic, and it really was life-changing. And I found that I started to do things that I never thought that I would do. You know, it's what other people do, not me.
Aha.
Acting really sort of responsibly and sort of looking at money in the face.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
and boy, one of those areas of life that we've got so much baggage around. It's just stopping it and looking it in the eye, it takes a tremendous amount of courage. And then staying with it for that kind of length of time until the changes come into your life, that's huge.
Yeah. So at the beginning I was, you know, maybe like other people, I was thinking, oh, you know, the money and this is, you know, this isn't going to be as exciting as the other ones, but it was.
So what we can get from that is it's not what, it's not the content, it's how. It's the process. Yeah.
Right.
And the how that you were bringing to it was personal transformation, and that is exciting.
Yes, it was. So it's filtered, you know, down to the rest of the family and into everything as well. So, and I'm still doing it. So that's really great. The other thing that I wanted to update you as well. I finished my teacher training course and survived.
I wondered. I thought you must be getting really close. Wow! Congratulations.
Yeah. So that's,
talk
that's
about the voices said you couldn't do it, and here you are.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, so that's really great, and it did feel like an achievement. So
an enormous achievement.
Yes.
Because those voices were trying to beat you back at every step.
Yes.
And you just kept going.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest voices, I think, is and was and is that I couldn't do it. You know, you can't do this. That was sort of. So what's happened now? So in September, I have got some teaching work, and on Tuesdays, I teach a couple of levels. On Tuesdays, I have a particular level. It's called Level One, and it's 16 to 19 year olds that, through various reasons, haven't got the very basic qualifications on leaving school.
Mm-hmm.
And about half of the group, there's 18 in the group, and about half of the group have very challenging behaviour. Mm-hmm. And I do enjoy teaching the group, but I do sometimes get nervous and scared, and I always have a voice the night before and the morning before that says, you can't do this, something's going to happen. One of the students is going to get aggressive, it's going to get out of control, and you won't be able to control the situation. Mm. I want to stick with it, and I, as
uh-huh.
I say, I do. I just thought I'd talk to you about that, really. I can feel sort of really quite nervous and really quite scared beforehand. And what I've been practicing is looking for the evidence and looking for the proof. And there are a couple of, there will be a few instances where my heart is in my mouth.
Yeah.
But
that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is always all right at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that might be a really helpful practice.
Mm.
So get up in the morning and just jot down, you know, get a simple calendar in the in the kitchen or wherever, not a big journaling thing, but just what the voice say last night, what the voice say this morning, you know, just jot down, you can't do it. At the end of the day, in some sort of color, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I did it. It was fine, you know, whatever it is. I enjoyed it. There were some successes. It was scary, and I got through it.
I like that. I really like that. So that's writing it down in the morning at the very time. That's really good. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, what conditioned mind wants to do, first of all, you went through this whole teacher training program. Okay, so it was pretty much every day, you can't do this, and you did it for a very, very long time and completed it successfully. So, but what it wants to do, so, you know, you've got these really challenging students now, and something could happen. It's true, something could happen. And what the voices of conditioning want to do is, so you've gone 360 days, and every day it said, something awful is going to happen, you can't do this. Every day you did it, nothing awful happened. Then something unfortunate happens.
Mm.
And it wants to say, see, I told you.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's insane. That's like, you know, you should never drive in a car because one day you might be in an accident.
Yes. Absolutely, I see that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't
It doesn't mean anything. And so what you're really getting skilled at is using statistics against it.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So that you can say, I mean, before I die, something probably is going to happen that I really wish hadn't happened.
Yeah.
Does that mean I should stop living now? Because that might be the case?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, the good part about this, the thing that at least I see as good, I like, is that it, along with being a teacher, you're also in a role of mentoring these young people to whatever degree they're open to.
Yeah.
And you're also needing to mentor you.
Yeah.
Yeah? So you
yeah.
can watch how they... You know, they'll be there and they'll be confident and they can see how this could work and their lives could work. And then the voices get to them and they get insecure and anxious and frightened. And they're really doing the same thing we're all doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. I'd like to sort of be conscious of that more often. Or I always find that really helpful, sort of thinking that we're all doing this. We're all doing the same thing, really.
Yes. Yeah, and that Anna needs that mentoring as much as Poppy, as much as the students, as much as anybody that we come in contact with in our lives. You know, what we're working to be, as much as possible, is the most conscious, centered, present, compassionate self we can be.
Yes.
Yeah, not meeting standards, just working toward that in every moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's really good. That's great.
What an exciting time, huh?
Yes, it is. And I sort of keep saying, you know, that you know, I'm equal to my life and nothing will happen, you know, unless it's something that I'm equal to. So it is.
Exactly. Yeah. And it might be scary as heck and it might be upsetting and it might be whatever. But that doesn't mean it's wrong or a mistake or that it's not right for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, that's really great.
All
thank
right.
you. And I'll I get, you know, the next opportunity, I'll keep you updated.
Yes, please do. Please
yes.
do.
Yes.
Because it's really important to keep coming back to that, what's going on, and how is that showing up now, and how am I doing with it now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So thank
all
you.
Right. Is that young woman there?
Yeah, is that okay? All right, I'll pop her on.
Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Hey, Poppy.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I was just wanting to talk to you about... Well, a situation that I repeatedly find quite difficult is when, like, you're just surrounded by people that are really unhappy and stressed out, like how you can stay happy and calm throughout that.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned early on that I was just at back-to-back conferences, and conferences, whew, you know, it's days of people having traveled a long way, left their life, traveled a long way to be in this situation for a relatively short period of time, and it's just unbelievably intense. You know, it's like everybody's going to try to get all of their needs met now.
Yes.
And as it was going on, because I do tend to live kind of a quiet life left to myself, and I was about, you know, day 2.5, I was thinking, ooh, I don't know if I'm gonna make it here. I may have to just go to my room, not come out. And I noticed this. I'll say young woman because to me she's a young woman. To you, she's an older woman, but it's all relative, isn't it? So
yeah.
I noticed that at every meal, she had managed to find a quiet place off by herself to eat. And I thought, well, now, that's something that I hadn't considered. You know, just because there's all this intense interaction doesn't mean I need to be there for all of it.
Yeah.
So that's one part, you know, giving ourselves permission to take time out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and it was really, I was actually shocked that it took me so long to figure out that as a possibility. And the second thing that I would suggest is, surrounding yourself with what you want to remember.
Yeah.
So how did you describe the people around you? They're unhappy and...
Stressed.
And what do you choose for yourself instead of going down that path?
Being happy and peaceful.
Okay. Then if I were you, and in fact, I do this, mine is I choose peace and calm.
Yeah.
And I have trained, so for you, you know, I choose happiness and peace, or however you want to phrase that. And each time it occurs to you, you just remind yourself that that's your choice.
Yeah.
So that the same things that trigger you into, oh, my God, these people are all going crazy, or I got them so unhappy, or, you know, whatever it is that goes on, those things trigger you to remember what your choice is. And you just turn your attention back to that and find that place inside yourself, and it may only last for a second or two. But that's okay.
Yeah.
You can go back there again.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. You know, there are so few conversations in our head that we actually need to have.
Yeah.
Mhm. And so all that space that gets taken up with, you know, noticing what's wrong around us or not liking it or wishing it were different or talking to ourselves about what's wrong or whatever, we can begin to practice letting that go, letting that conversation go, and just replacing it, filling that space with what we choose instead.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely try that out. That sounds. I like the idea of using it as like a reminder.
Yes. And, you know, you can, you can put it on your iPod. You can make notes to yourself, you know, on whatever it is that you carry around, even if it's in code, you know.
Yeah.
I-C-H-A-C. and what you know is that means that I choose happiness and peace. And each time you see it, it reminds you, and you go to that experience, and you're just slowly training yourself to be where you want to be, in the conversation that you want to be in, having the life experience that you choose.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And you'll let me know how it goes, won't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Because it's my big life experiment now. I'm convinced that if we will take this on, we really can defeat those negative voices that are trying to pull us into that stress and misery and something wrong and not enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's a habit. People are in a habit of unhappiness, a habit of that negative conversation. And it's not, I'm not suggesting positive thinking. I'm actually not. I'm suggesting that you can have any life experience that you choose to have. And the proof of that is that in every moment, we are having the life experience that we're choosing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if we want a different life experience, we just make a different choice. We find out how to have that experience, and then we begin to repeat it. We just change the habit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well,
thank you very much. You're welcome. Go get some sleep, huh?
Yeah. I'll definitely let you know how that goes.
I would so appreciate that. Really, truly. Yeah.
Well,
thanks again.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Poppy and Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was a fun conversation.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Those gals over there across that pond, they work hard.
They do work hard. And I think I'm going to write a little code on my hand now so I know what I'm choosing.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's in code, so nobody, you know, they might think you're weird for having it written on your hand, but... Or they might just think, wow, he's really dedicated to remembering.
Yes.
Good. Yes, that's true.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break here, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have three more callers here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sherry and Michael. Hi, it's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey. Well, I wanted to say I'm so excited that Anna called in and to hear that she finished her teaching. I just love it when people call back in and report on their successes. Isn't that fabulous?
It is so fabulous. And especially because, you know, those of us who've been doing this a while, you know, that's Sangha. Here we are.
Yeah.
We're going through this together. And so we knew that was going on, that those voices were saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. And then, gosh, you know, and it's been a while. That was not a, you know, that wasn't a six-month course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really, it's great.
And it's so much like a success for any of us is a success for all of us.
Precisely. That is such a good point. Because if one of us can do it, we all can do it.
Yeah.
It proves that what practice is teaching us is true and right and accurate, and it may not be easy in our circumstances because karma operates that way. You know, we all get the karma that pushes us, or we all have the karma that pushes us. And so, yeah, it's going to seem like it's impossible. And, you know, the old, we hold hands and we keep showing up and we keep working at it. And pretty soon, poof, there you are on the other side.
Yeah.
It works.
Well, I'm calling to report back, too.
Good.
About my experiment with sharing my writing with people.
Uh-huh.
The first person I shared it with was this one very controlled experiment, you know, and it was a very trusted friend, and I set it up where I would feel really safe, you know. I told her this is a very vulnerable, very, very sensitive, you know, poor thing. Bless her heart, she probably thought I was about to share national security secrets or something, you know. I laid it out.
I killed my neighbor and buried the body in my cellar.
Don't share this with anybody else, I said.
And please don't say anything to me about it, okay? It's very upsetting for me.
that's funny. But I did ask her to you know, share what comes up for her, like we do in group. And and my reaction, so she did that, and she did it over email, and it was just so delightful. It was, you know, I got the email and I opened it, and I was just grinning, just watching her. I mean, you know, she was just speaking from her own experience, and the joy of that exchange, I just can't even describe it.
Yeah. And so what happened with all of those fears? I mean, because this is very much a parallel to what Anna was saying. You know, the voices are saying, oh, my God, you can't do that. It's going to be awful. You're going to be humiliated or whatever it is that they're threatening you with. And it's a great experience. What did they say? Nothing?
Not a thing. I mean, you know, every step of the way, I was kind of looking over my shoulder going, okay, is everybody okay here? Are we okay? Is there, you know, and looking for, because I didn't, if that was a little child feeling really afraid, I didn't want her to feel pushed into anything, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it just wasn't there. It just wasn't there.
Wow. That's great, huh? Yeah.
So then I went to experiment out a next layer, and I took, so because what I had shared with her was like the raw material. It was like from my left hand to the paper to her. You know, I didn't do any edits whatsoever. So then I thought, well, now I want to polish a piece of it and put some, you know, kind of do a little editing and try to put it into some sort of a essay form, okay? And then, and so I was watching that whole process, and that was fun. The writing was fun too. It was a different kind of fun, though, more like the fun of putting a jigsaw puzzle together, more than like kind of creating a new dish or something, you know. But it was still fun. And then I felt a little less vulnerable sharing that. That was more like, I don't know. I was just, maybe I was a little disidentified or something.
Yeah, one step removed.
Yeah, like, okay, so now it's more a conversation, you know, with different parts of me in on this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I shared that with four or five friends with a little less, you know, fear and trepidation and a little less instruction to them. I did say, I'm not really looking for edits, just, you know, just want, if you have anything come up, you know, feel free to share it.
Please and feel free to make I statements.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of in the process of getting those back. You know, one friend wrote back and I do kind of want to ask about something that I saw come up as a result of his response. He said, "Gosh, I can see a book emerging in this." And there was a part of me that kind of jumped for joy with that. And I'm a little suspicious, because there also felt like that excitement of that might have had a twinge of urgency, like, okay, I gotta write a book. You know, it really wasn't the language, but it kind of had a hint of that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
So is somebody who now is really removed from the process aspect of it, now is starting to see it as almost as a commodity.
You know, I think that is it. I think it's at that part, right, I think that's it. I think that's exactly it. Then I think that's why I was suspicious, because that's not the one who's playing the game. You know, he's not playing with us. You know, it's like he comes in with, maybe that's kind of my internal version of this better idea, you know?
Yeah. So I have a curiosity question. Has anybody said, ooh, I want to do this?
Well, my friend that read it first, she was all over it. She said, we have got to do this. We've got to, you know, and she was, you know, so, that was
And, you know, it would be a really fun, now, I feel almost irresponsible saying this. Maybe I should, you know, but anyway, I hope nobody will take me up on this who shouldn't take me up on this, but it would be a very fun workshop to do.
What do you mean?
For people to get together and do that process as a group.
Oh, yeah.
And with very, very strict guidelines about, you know, not projecting onto what somebody else says, you know, almost a writer's workshop where people share their writing and people just listen, you know, without giving any kind of critique.
So are you saying it would be fun to do a workshop? Well, kind of like what Living Beyond Karma was?
Well, no, your friend said, we've got to do this. That could be a very fun thing for a group of people, a group of friends, a group of whatevers, wanted to do that process and wanted support for an ongoing exploration of the various aspects of themselves who would come up in non-dominant handwriting.
Oh yeah, that would be really fun. And I was going to say, and a little, I could see it being a little tricky, a little thorny, you know.
Very tricky. You'd have to have very good ground rules.
Yeah, that's what you mean by the very strict guidelines. But ooh, that would be so deep, you know, deep looking there. Well, I'm glad I put out that little suspicion thing I had, because, you know, it felt like enthusiasm, but I just wasn't sure. It was enthusiasm. It was just enthusiasm for what, you know?
Yeah, and whose enthusiasm for what? You know, we're really in a funny kind of thing now, and I want to tell you this just because it keeps occurring to me. There was a column, David Brooks is a columnist for the New York Times, and somebody just sent me a column that he did on the cultural shift toward this, toward an understanding that we are multifaceted. Apparently there's a, not multifaceted in that way, but in the way we're talking about it, there's a movie out, the Wild Things, or
Where the Wild Things?
Isn't that movie just out, I think? Anyway, apparently it's a whole kind of aspect of the personality movie. And so he was talking about this shift from the idea of sort of coming from the Greeks, you know, that we have a character. There's a, you know, there's a certain character that we have, and then we might have a character flaw. But really, you're either heroic or you're not heroic. You're either honorable or you're not honorable. And the movement toward, actually, we're everything. we're everybody. And then the growing sensitivity to exactly what you're saying. So somebody put something out, somebody else inside, because we're not aware that there are different aspects of us, somebody else feels perfectly justified in hopping on it, taking advantage of it, using it, exploiting it, whatever. And then we wind up feeling unsafe even within ourselves, which often then gets projected out, and we think we feel unsafe with others when actually that lack of understanding and sympathy and compassion is all being played out inside ourselves.
Yeah, boy. And that is would be such happy news to if what he's, I mean, I see the shift, but, you know, we're kind of immersed in it, you know. But if somebody from outside sees this shift happening, isn't that happy news? Wow, that would be fun. You
fun
know,
stuff,
I mean, even,
huh?
Yeah, I even remember, you know, back in the early days when I was timid to say anything about the voices, you know, because people look at you like you're crazy. And now you hear people talking about the voices all the time. I do, even people not connected with practice, you know.
Yes, yes. It's filtering into the culture.
Well, thank
and
God,
exactly. I have to tell you, I was stunned by this column and sort of presenting it as if this is a brand new concept, because, of course, in the circles we travel in, it is not a brand new concept. But clearly, out in a more, conservative orientation to life, yeah. People don't hear voices talking to them inside their heads, and they get really upset if they show wild inconsistency in their moods or their behaviors or their attitudes. And what a relief to find out that, well, of course. And, you know, not only that, you can sort of relax the restraints and trust yourself that you do have a center that's, you know, kind of minding the store, and that it's safe for different aspects of you to come up and enjoy life.
And that there is, in fact, nothing wrong with you.
And that, in fact, there is nothing. In fact, there never was anything wrong with you. Oh,
now
so
there's going to be a sequel to that, too, so that's just
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Great.
All right, well, you're going to keep us posted as that unfolds as well.
Yeah,
good.
As the circle widens. And that was a David Brooks column, right?
Correct. And he was talking about the wild things.
Okay.
Which I thought, after that, I thought, oh, well, I think I have to see that movie. If it's a training films, you know.
That's
so
right.
So if it's a training film, I need to go see what they're doing with aspects of the personality in children film land.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye, Michael.
Bye, Rebecca. Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, you?
Stop, drop, and breathe.
Yes.
Love it. So simple.
Very simple. Sherry,
no.
we have...
Well, what occurs to me, maybe this conversation has been had many times before, but I think, you know, stop, drop it, and breathe, okay? But you could also, if you're kind of a dramatic type and it feels like just doing this inside your own head is not going to bring you the disidentification you're seeking, you just fall down on the ground. That would disidentify you.
Yes.
Okay.
I did that with my son. I did that with my son a couple of days ago. It was very fun.
Oh, you didn't drop him. You dropped.
No, I did stop, drop, and breathe.
What a great thing to teach your kids.
Yeah, because, you know, he's into fire trucks and goes to fire departments, and he knows stop, drop, and roll. So this is part two of that.
Part two of that. Don't forget to breathe.
Get to breathe. Sherry, we have two more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Anna from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hey there.
Hi.
What's going on?
So I've been getting a lot of conversation while I've been on hold, like, oh, you shouldn't have called. You've been calling a lot recently. But I really that's one thing that's going on. But I wanted to call, so I called. And one of the things I've been practicing with is kind of doing what it is that occurs to me to do.
Uh-huh.
So, if it's like, I really want to do this, then just do it. And
that's right. As long as you're not breaking any precepts,
right.
You're fine. Right?
Yeah.
People get nervous about that. Yeah, but what if I want to do that? Well, don't do that. But do all of the other things that occur to you to do that aren't going to be questionable or harmful. There's tons of them.
Yeah. It's almost like, doing what it is that's going to care for me. You know, and I think it is a little bit of a different, it was helpful, a conversation with Rebecca, actually, because one of the things I've been looking at, too, is this, when the charge comes in. So for me, whatever, I'll be going along, and then there'll be like this charged thing, like she said that, you know, what I projected she was describing when she got this email back from a friend that was, you know, saying, oh, I see a book in here, and was like a part of her that. So for me, that I could almost like feel what that, like whatever I was projecting onto what she was saying, what I would feel like if I got that email. And it was like, it was really a very similar it reminded me of kind of one of the things I've been looking at where, it's almost like, going along and someone, someone's trying to convince, so there'll be something where I'll like put myself out there in a way that some part of me feels vulnerable. And then what happens is there's a whole conversation of like almost kind of like there's a lot of energy at that point, and it could be excitement, or I'm not sure what it is, but it's just a lot of energy, and then there's this whole conversation going on about what is this energy, and what does it mean, and I don't really care anyway, or, and there's this whole conversation going on, and then what happens is there's some kind of response from an external, and then what happens is there's there's a charge, and it's one direction or another. And then there's this whole conversation that comes in afterwards about what does this mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's...
all of which you could do without.
The whole thing. Yeah,
so
it's almost
We're kind of back to Poppy.
Yeah.
It's like every bit of it, past the sensation, is completely irrelevant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's almost like the whole process that leads up to the charge is to get me so far away from me that the charge can come in and just take over. You know, because there's no intending at that point. You know, I'm all in, the store is being intended, and then the charge can come in and just like do whatever it is that it would like, you know, karma would like you to do.
Yeah, just jolt you right out of the present and into some sort of karmic reality or unreality.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah it's like
yeah, that's exactly
setup.
Right.
Yeah,
and it that jolt, it's perfect that you're seeing this because that jolt is, I swear, is designed to do exactly that. You know, there, as you say, there's nobody there, and then boom, and by the you're so startled, and by the time you kind of come to, you're off in some direction, hopefully, from conditioning's point of view, completely caught up in something that's going to keep you out of the moment.
Yeah, and it's almost like a hit, almost like a drug or something in some ways.
Yep.
Yeah.
Isn't that good to see?
It is really good to see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you can, you know, put on your super sleuth outfit and really start scrutinizing that. You know, watch for it. Watch every tiny little nuance around it. It is going to be so illuminating. And, of course, the extra good news about that is that if you're scrutinizing it at that level, it's not accomplishing what it's meant to accomplish.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even though it's going on, you're present.
Right.
And, you know, that is such a critical point. Conditioning wants us to believe that you're only doing it right when that kind of thing doesn't happen.
Uh-huh.
But that's not true. Big shock that conditioning would lie to us, huh? Because when it's there and you're watching it, you are present. And that's all we're really asked to be, present. Doesn't matter what you're present to. You're aware. Content is irrelevant.
Yeah. That's really helpful to hear because I think I'm starting to be able to hear that. You know, like I've heard it before, but I think I'm actually hearing it. You know, because I think there was this whole conditioned, you know, what does practice look like, and when am I here, when am I not here, and
yes,
and it ought to do what it looked like,
If we could just give ourselves a little break, because you've learned a lot of stuff in your life,
mm-hmm.
and it has all gone pretty much the same way. You know, at first, you don't know anything about any of it. At first, it doesn't even exist. And then it exists, and you don't know anything about it. And then you slowly start to learn. And you see more, and you learn more, and things come together, and you get it. You can see how that goes with that. Awareness practice is exactly the same thing. So if we just stay with it, keep paying attention, pretty soon starts coming together. We can see it. Oh, okay. That's it. And so the only hope that conditioning has of stopping us is to get us focused on how we're doing the practice wrong. Because otherwise, you're just watching it all kind of unfold and come together.
Yeah. And this word unfold is something that, I don't know, I was going home today, and it was almost like, you know, this is happening, this whole unfolding is happening, and there was a really a sense that it was happening. It wasn't as though I was doing it. It was actually just happening. And that was like, it was kind of a surprise, actually, because there's this belief that I'm doing it somehow. You know, I'm showing up. But actually, showing up is happening.
Yes.
And it was just it was like, wow.
That's where that's where you start realizing that you no longer want to argue with the idea that you're having a religious experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all you can do is just go, is just say thank you. And say,
yeah.
Why me? You know, why me? How did I get lucky enough for this to be happening to me?
Yeah. It was like that.
Yep.
It was like that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And the thing that will happen increasingly is that you will know that you can trust it. And the more you trust it, the more it'll be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So thank
well,
you.
Thank
you.
Keep us posted.
Will do.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're
Hi.
Listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 4 minutes left, and we have one more caller.
All right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Jessica Nelson.
Who is this?
This is Jessica Nelson.
Hi, Sherry. This
hey.
Is Trish and Rosa from Chico.
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
My phone is it just cut out a tiny bit, and I missed the introduction. Good evening, gals.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm going to let Rosa do the talking.
Okay, and now listen, both of you.
Yes.
It's very short time.
Okay.
So if we run out of time, will you be sure to call me back next week?
We will do our best. We had trouble
all
getting
right.
through, but we'll do our best.
All right, good. We have a commitment. Okay, all right, what's going on?
We had a field trip to the Gold Nugget Museum in Paradise, one city
uh-huh.
away. And
uh-huh.
they taught us about Scooby, and it kind of freaked me out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And tell me about freaking out.
I just kind of got scared about it.
Uh-huh.
And thought
uh-huh.
What if I get it, or what if my parents do, even though I know I can't because I eat fruits and vegetables.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But there was still a fear that came up
yeah.
that this could happen. And what did that fear feel like?
So, I don't know. It just felt kind of heavy, I guess. So I told my
uh-huh.
mom about it, and then she talked to me about it.
Uh-huh. Okay. But there's something that happens in your body that signals you that, that's scary. Or, oh, my God, I have to, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Well, this is perfect. Because, my dear, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. I would like, between now and next week when we talk, for you to find out what fear feels like in your body.
Well, I guess I do have a little fear, but I still have a little fear left, but I don't have as much because I talk to my mom.
Yes, and that's a very good thing to do, isn't it?
So, do you want me to tell you about the fear that's left in my body?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. And what else should I do?
I want you to watch really carefully when there's the first sensation in your body that tells you there's something to be afraid of, you're feeling nervous, you're feeling anxious, something is scary or it's going to be. Okay, so where I want you really to be watching is you're going along and you're okay, and then you're getting information that there's something upsetting.
And I don't know why they had to tell us about it at the museum, since we're only 8 years old, you know?
Yes, I do know. I agree. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. You, because of the awareness that you are bringing to life, you have a chance at a very young age to make peace with something that troubles almost every adult on the planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can, and you can, when you get to the point of watching those sensations arise in your body, and instead of going into a conversation about what's wrong,
mm-hmm.
you will instead, you'll feel those sensations, and you will begin to reassure yourself that it's okay, that you're all right, they're just feelings in your body.
I think I
they
should
can't
do,
hurt you.
I think I should do that with ghosts, too, because sometimes, like, I hear creaks in the floor when I wake up at 2 in the morning, and
uh-huh.
it just kind of freaks me out, so I think I'll do that with ghosts, too.
That's right. If every chance you get, in fact, what I encourage people to do is look for scary things to practice with.
Okay.
All right? So instead of, you know, if I'm going to go to bed at night and I know I'm going to wake up at 2 in the morning and there's going to be, you know, I've had a nightmare or I'm going to hear noises or whatever it is, instead of, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, I don't want to go to sleep, I don't want to go to bed because it's, I go, okay, this is my best opportunity to be there to take care of myself, to practice taking care of myself when I get scared.
Okay.
All right? Now, here's the deal. Okay, this is a big project you're launching on. Don't expect to be through this next month. Okay?
And if I have to do it for several months, can I?
If what? Say
if
that
I
again?
Have to do it for several months, can I? Like
oh.
if I need to go through this for a little while.
I am hoping that you get to the point where you welcome those sensations all of your life.
Okay.
Because what it will mean is that you're doing new, exciting, challenging things in your life. And pretty soon you will start doing things because they give you the chance to be there with yourself. So pretty soon you're going to want to ski down steep hills, or you're going to want to strap on a parachute and jump out of a plane. I shouldn't say this. Your mother's going to be freaking out.
No, thank you, Terry.
Yeah.
I'm pretty afraid of those things, so I won't be doing them.
But as you go along, you'll have bigger and bigger and bigger challenges, and you will enjoy them more and more. So, no hurries.
Okay?
Okay,
thank you.
Now, you really are going to be checking in, aren't you? We're going to talk next week, and then we'll just start ourselves on a little program where we'll stay in this conversation, and you'll let me know what you discover in your experiments.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I have a diary that I write down my feelings in. And I guess I wrote down some things to remind myself.
Yes.
Yeah. I wrote some things
yeah.
in my diary.
Yeah. Yeah. And your mom can help you with
She's very good at that.
Yeah. She can help you with all kinds of little tools and techniques and tricks that you can use in your experiments.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Rosa. Sherry, we've had another great show.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been great. I'd like to appreciate all of our wonderful callers of all ages and our listeners and our faithful guide.
All ages and all time zones.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.